All right, we are back. Game of Thrones, 94 WIP Game of Thrones podcast, recapping Season 8, Episode 1, entitled Winterfell. Bill Kornfeld here, Dave Breitmeyer here, I'm Tom Kelly. Andrew Porter unable to join us today, unfortunately. He's got real work to do, as Dave says. We really don't, but
we do have real work to do. We're just avoiding it right now.
As Dave has his death pool in hand that he appears to have filled out prior to the season.
Yeah, I did.
We'll go over that in a little bit, but Season 8, Episode 1. Talked a little bit about it before the show, not too much, but I guess our initial impressions of it. I'll start off and just say I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a perfect way to start the season. One of the biggest things was it didn't feel forced. I feel like last year in Season 7, there were times when it felt like you were watching a parody of Game of Thrones and not really Game of Thrones. But I thought this episode really returned to its roots. I thought the writing and pacing was much more what you'd come to expect. So I loved it. You guys would like to give your thoughts on the first episode.
I thought it had really strong moments and some really like, okay, they're just trying to expedite this process to get it to the end here. We're only 5 episodes left. And then it's over. But overall, I agree with you, TK. The episode, right from the very beginning, the new intro got me hyped.
That was really cool. That was interesting to start out. I thought it was interesting.
Like if you noticed, it went reverse of what it had done the first 7 seasons. We started at the wall and we worked our way south. And
I think a lot of it has to do with there isn't a lot more places that they're going.
That's what
they usually
do.
All the places they go, and they needed to kill time. Yes, and they only had 3 places that they were going. The Wall, Winterfell, and King's Landing, and that's going to be it probably for the rest of the show.
Yeah, because I noticed like the small. We never went to Essos, which is where Dany spent most of her time in Slaver's Bay, which is now the Bay of Dragons, is what she renamed before leaving. So I thought that was really cool. Really, like what set the pace for me. Like it got me hyped. I had high expectations for the show. The new intro just got me more excited. So overall, I thought a lot of the reunions that we were looking forward to lived up to the hype.
Yes, I would totally agree with that.
Jon Snow, or Aegon Targaryen, I guess we should start calling him, a.k.a. Jon Snow, and Arya meeting up for the first time since Season 1, got me emotional. Like, we've been separated from these two for 7 seasons, and these guys were very, very close compared to any other Stark siblings because of what Jon Snow is and how Arya, her persona is. So that was emotional, and just Bran being there, Sansa. I thought it was great just to see all of that.
And then also, as far as the reunions too, the Hound and Gendry, doing that kind of at the same time, intertwined, I think was really smart. And we'll get into this later, but Arya and Gendry, definitely a little sexual tension there.
That. Yeah.
Definitely. They did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I think they did. Actually, speaking of things they're doing on purpose, that's what I kind of want to notice. Like, you've seen it at least twice, TK. I've only watched it once. Dave, you said you only watched it once. Yeah. I noticed they were also, if you really listen, like, even just on the first go-around, I noticed that they were dropping seeds for what they plan for the future of the show. First, the biggest thing that stuck out to me was, I forget who the third person was all of a sudden, but it was Varys and Tyrion talking on top of the Wall of Winterfell. And down below, you don't hear them, but you can see John and Danny talking, and they're talking about marriage between these two. Mm-hmm. Right. That's obviously where this is going to go, even though we also got the scene where John learns his true identity from Sam. So I don't know how that's going to work, but I think that seed of the marriage between Danny and John is there.
Well, they needed to show that they are really in love. They haven't really done a good job of showing the romance between the two of them. And them looking down on two young people who are clearly in love, I think it was their way of trying to push that narrative. Yeah.
And it's evident to everybody that they have a connection, because I thought one of the best scenes in the episode was Sansa and Jon talking about why he bent the knee when they finally got a private moment. And Sansa, in the end, says, "Did you bend the knee to save the North, or did you bend the knee because you're in love with her?"
And I
think it's clear to pretty much everyone that's going on right now.
Right.
And
Sansa's not stupid. She can see it.
Right. And it makes sense. I mean, when you look at just taking John's you know, parentage out of it, which I'm sure we'll get to before the end here, but you know, taking that out of it and just thinking of John and the power he wields in the North and Dany and the power she wields in the South, it's a logical match. I mean, yeah. It's a logical match for the future of the realm if they do survive the White Walker invasion.
But the drama that was put into it is at the end, because if you think about it, he is the rightful heir and she's not now.
Right.
And yet he's going to have to tell her, and that's going to be a problem with their relationship.
I want to go then to just the reveal to John between Sam and the Crips. I was conflicted on how they did this, to be honest, because, like, you get this scene with John where he's finally back in Winterfell for the first time in at least a decade show-wise, 7 seasons for us, and it's like, he's mourning his father for the first time because he hasn't been there. The only other time he was told that his father was dead was through Jorah Mormont, when they initially got the Raven. Then Sam just comes waltzing in, pissed off that his family has been burnt. Really, he's only pissed that his brother has been burnt.
Dickon
has been burnt. The greatest name, greatest name in Game of Thrones history. And he's just like, hey, would you have done this? Because I'm a little pissed off at the queen that now, by the way, she's not really the queen, you are. And he's like, that's a lot of information to process while you're mourning who you think is your father and is really your uncle.
And that's something we almost forgot about, that this whole thing that they're related, and we forget the big part of it is that he is the king. She's not the queen.
Yeah. That's part of the reason
why. If you get enough people behind him.
Right.
That was part of
but
the reason why.
But officially, he's in line. He's got the blood.
That was part of the reason why I loved it, though, was, you know, this thing throughout John's whole life, he has struggled with knowing who he is. From just back to season 1, episode 1, when he just wants to know who his mother is. And, you know, finally he thinks he's gained this kind of knowledge of himself, King of the North, but all these people believe in him. And for him to be down in the Crypts when he finds out that news, I thought was pretty cool. And now when we look at, you know, now that obviously that was the big scene of the episode, him being a Targaryen.
But that also, him being in the Crypt, everyone keeps pushing me to it. Every time they show the Crypt, they talk about the Crypt, they put it in the trailer, it makes me think, all those Starks are going to become White Walkers.
Maybe.
But why are they making such a big deal out of these Crypts?
Well, I think that's where we get the physical proof for the rest of the realm to see that Jon is the son of Lyanna and Rhaegar. Because the theory that has gone for a while, including before even the show started when we only had the book material, was that Rhaegar's harp, which is what he was known to play when he was still alive, is buried with Lyanna in those crypts. That's how they are going to prove that he is the son because of that harp
now,
in her crypt.
I have a question for you guys as to, you know, you've both mentioned the fact that Jon is the rightful king now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really interested. The thing I'm most interested in going into the next episode is how Jon reconciles his identity within himself. Because I don't think he has any desire to be the king.
Totally.
Like, he doesn't care about this information.
No,
this is
terrible news for him.
Everybody else might care about this.
She wants to be the queen, and she's the queen, and he bended the knee, and now this throws a giant wrench into all that.
Yep.
He's the king. She's going to have to bend to him to be...
Well, I don't know if... I'm interested to see how long Jon... waits to tell. Like, I don't think we're just going to come out of the next episode and John's just going
to
tell everybody
tell
that
he's not going to run out of the crypt and go, "I'm the king."
Targaryen.
He's not going to be happy about it.
I think this is going to be a situation where John is wrestling amongst himself with how to tell her first. And I think Sam, I guess, what surprised me most is how insistent Sam was, like, "You are the king.
Yeah,
let's go get this." Because I don't think John doesn't want it.
Well, from Sam's point of view, he's doing this because he was pissed at Dany now because of what she did to his family. Like, really,
right, that was part of
like,
it.
Like the
and he thinks
Tyrell,
that she might be out of control.
The Tarly
everyone is worried
gone.
About.
He's a member of the Night's Watch, as far as we're still concerned. He's still a member of the Night's Watch.
Not really.
But he's still, like...
He's nothing.
I think he is.
He's not a Meister. He's not a Meister.
Here's what's interesting about this, though, because I think we're all in agreement John doesn't want it. John doesn't care.
Correct.
But the fact that John does feel this undying loyalty to the North... Once the North finds out, and they're, you know, you'd assume they stand behind Jon still, but will it make them skeptical of Jon now, knowing he's a Targaryen? Yeah. Will it make Sansa and Arya more skeptical of Jon?
Yeah.
Like, I worry about what this will do to Jon's relationship with his people.
Anything that's been through, the way it's gone is some will accept him, and some won't accept him, and it's going to divide people even more and cause a bigger problem.
There is no doubt in my mind, even as to TK's point of what he's
saying. Mostly everyone's together, except maybe Cersei. Everyone's kind of together now, so you're going to have some splintering, and that's going to cause a big splinter.
And you saw, like, Arya, like, that was a great reunion with Jon, but that last line of the reunion was a little, when he's like, I'm her family too, and Arya's like, don't forget that.
Yeah.
Like, so when they find out Jon is a Targaryen, does this make them more skeptical of him, even though they still love him?
Well, if I'm Jon, I would go, well, you're still family, you're just a different... type of family member. So
don't call me Jon Snow. My name is Jon Snow.
Cousin is a lot different than brother, though, in this world.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's that big a deal.
So, I hope not.
So I would, like...
Can I give my thing now?
Oh, yeah, your pool?
Oh, No. I just want to say I gave it a 7 out of 10. Like you said, you gave it a 7 out of 10. There's this one scene that I have a huge problem with. I talked about it.
I hope we're on the same page. Go.
The scene I had a huge problem with was the riding the dragon scene.
Okay, I have two scenes then. I did not like that either.
It was terribly filmed. I feel like it was. They tried to make it a Disney movie. I completely blame the director. Like, I understand that had to happen.
It's a massive moment.
It's a massive moment
of the show.
Where I don't think there was no other real way for them to get to that.
Right.
Point.
I think the
writers had to write down on a piece of paper, they ride the dragons
together.
Jon has a trouble. But it didn't have to be...
Dave's
on
a
the
hater.
Back of the dragon.
Dave's a hater.
She smiled at him. It's a Disney movie.
But
it's Aladdin.
But you gotta understand, this is... He's a Targaryen. Him being able to ride a dragon is huge. That dragon is named after his father. That is a massive moment.
I'm saying they had to do it. I'm mad at the way they did it.
I didn't think it was that bad. I watched it again last night. I didn't think it was that bad.
Of why they went to the dragon.
She's
was
smiling
stupid.
At him. How many times did Dany smile? Dany smiled more in this show than she's had through the past 7 seasons.
Yeah.
She's in love with Jon.
So my problem.
Why is she smiling at Sam? The director. It was the director's fault.
What are you talking about?
My two
when
issues.
She goes to talk to Samwell, she's smiling her face off.
She was thanking the person who saved Jorah. She wasn't smiling by the end of the conversation.
That's true. She was like, not
she felt kind of like an idiot.
Not Randall.
And by the way,
right?
they probably should have let her know into that meeting.
It made it a brighter episode that just did not feel like Game of Thrones. And I had
I agree.
They could have shot that better, where he's not on the back of a dragon. Whoa! Like that. That's stupid.
So my two issues.
It was fine.
They could have filmed it and had it be better than that.
I enjoyed it.
My two issues.
They could have done it better. And the CGI wasn't that great. They showed a picture from the top of Winterfell. Winterfell looked clean. It looked like they just cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Winterfell is a terrible looking place. It's been through a bunch of wars.
So my issues with that was the premise of why they went there was because Dothraki said, hey, they're not eating. So they go out and eat. They don't eat. Like that, whatever. Maybe it's just me.
They had to have an excuse.
Yeah. My other issue, my other scene that.
They said they were eating. That was the whole thing. They were
eating. I thought they said they weren't eating.
No, they were. Eating. That was the issue. They ate. They ate 18 goats. Yeah, they ate too much.
Oh, okay, so maybe I misinterpreted.
I like that scene.
I thought it was they weren't eating.
No, did you see all the bones they were?
Yeah, but they say the point is that's not enough for a dragon.
I don't think they
the point is
enough.
They don't want the dragons to eat a bunch of the food that they need to feed these people. Right. Now they have a huge army.
I have to go back and figure out which one of that is.
So besides the dragons,
because we had both had the same.
By the way, I loved that line when Sansa's like, "What do dragons eat anyway?" And she's like, "Whatever they want."
Whatever they want. Yeah. That was a good line. My other scene that I had a huge issue with. And I'm trying to figure out what the purpose of these two characters still alive is purposed.
Why is Theon still alive?
That was the worst part of the episode.
Why is Tormund and Beric still alive?
Well, Tormund.
How
well,
are they still alive?
People were
at Eastwatch when the floor fell last
They didn't
season.
Explain I get that. It, and I wish they would have explained it.
They just want them to be in it.
Up.
Yeah, they're going to die in
but
the
Tormund's, people like Tormund. Tormund's funny.
Like, the only logical.
I've always had blue eyes. Yeah. That was good.
That was the
funny.
The only reason I saw, like, okay, they kept them in there was because you saw the quote-unquote now Lord Commander Ed, who took the spot of John after he left. He showed up at House Umber at Last Hearth, and I don't think many people are going to remember who he was. So I think they used Tormund and Beric as a little bit of a bridge to remind us who Ed was.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some people wouldn't remember.
That really pissed
that
me
was,
off.
Yeah, that was, I think they just... Our fan favorite characters that they want in it, like Tormund. And I think Tormund probably dies this season. But
I agree.
He also represents
the Wildlings, who they want to keep in the show. It's
He speaks for
the Wildlings.
That scene was really cool, though. The Umber scene and just what the White Walkers want, I think, is interesting.
So that leads into my next point. Like, they're not that far behind. This army of the dead is right on their heels at Winterfell.
Right.
No, that kid ran to his home.
Hearth.
Yeah. He ran to it, so that's not that far away.
No, it's
if he's
not.
Able to run there.
No, they said he needed horses and carriages.
All right, well, that's
they brought
still
that stuff back.
Still so not I'm that talking. Far away.
Yeah. No. Well, we know, and this isn't a spoiler. This is pretty much common knowledge that big battle at Winterfell is episode 3.
Yes.
So we only got one more episode to go.
We got one more little bridge.
Next episode stuff they showed at the end made you think that battle's going to be... Because they show Tyrion looking off the ramparts.
I think that's the final scene.
Yeah, that's probably the final scene.
The
final shot's probably going to be the Army of the Dead right on the gates in Winterfell.
Before we end, I have a little dilemma with that episode that I'm going to have to ask you guys
about. Episode 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just a scheduling conflict. I'm doing updates that night. I'm going to have to make sure that I am... You know, somehow,
watch the episode
somehow doing my newsman duties, but at the same time, not
That's
seeing
a
any
tough
spoilers.
Predicament.
Yeah.
So the other, I want to. So we focused. Obviously, this episode was called Winterfell, but let's shift to the south for a second. Are all the Lannister ideas dumb? Like,
yes.
What is because Cersei? Besides,
yeah, but.
Tyrion's really dumb ideas last season, which included going up north to get a body to show, to prove to Cersei that the Army of the Dead was real. She now wants Bronn, referring to Cersei I'm talking about, to infiltrate Winterfell, kill everyone, and make sure to kill Tyrion with the crossbow, or just like he killed her father.
No,
but she wants him to assassinate her brother.
Yes.
But not Dany for some reason.
Yes.
Well, no.
This is dumb.
No.
But there has to
they
be more to
said,
it.
They said, Qyburn says when he goes to Bronn, if they survive their northern adventure. So I don't think she's telling Bronn to infiltrate Winterfell. That's a suicide mission. He'll never survive
that's what
that.
I mean.
They mean, I think, if Jaime and Tyrion win the war and work their way down south.
Okay. All right.
That's the way I take that.
That's a fair interpretation.
I don't think that's a suicide mission.
Because every plan that Cersei makes, I'm just like, can she just be killed by Jaime at some point? Because that's what we're going to get.
He loves her.
Yeah, but I think
he's not going to kill her.
I think he will.
She didn't kill him. She could have killed him.
Yeah.
She could have killed him before he left, and she did not.
I think Jaime's going to kill her because I don't think. I think the quote unquote prophecy from the book that tells her, I forget what the term is in the language.
Valonqar, and then it translates the little brother, which she is always.
She's
interpreted as Tyrion,
right?
But it, you know, Jaime is also technically her little brother.
By
she
a
was
few
born
minutes,
first.
Yeah, she was born first. So I think like she has lived her life around this prophecy, which has caused all three of her children to be killed or commit suicide. And now we're at a point in Cersei where we're only at that final prophecy. So she's focusing on that final one, and I don't see how Cersei's alive by episode 6.
Everyone's so focused on the White Walkers.
It's tough to know how things play out. Yeah. I think everybody kind of assumes the Battle of Winterfell, a lot of people are going to die, the Night King's going to end up winning, but your main people will survive and retreat south.
Yeah.
I think that's the general consensus
Whoever's
opinion
left.
Right
yep.
now.
Yeah.
And more than that, and everything else will take place down at King's Landing.
And what's Euron's main goal here? You're like, I don't get
it. I think he made it pretty clear last episode.
Yeah, it's true. Like, is he gonna believe Cersei when she says, "Oh, I'm pregnant"?
And it's yours, yes.
And it's yours.
Yep. That was her plan with the original king, and she's gonna do it again.
Or this is another theory that I have, though.
She's never gonna tell him that.
Was she lying to Jaime and not pregnant at the time?
She's
gonna have a baby with Euron, but tell Jaime it's actually his when it's really Euron's.
No.
She's playing two sides of the same coin, I guess.
Maybe I'm overthinking it. I could be overthinking it.
No, I don't think you're overthinking it, because this is Game of Thrones. We have five episodes left. We have to. That was what I appreciated a lot about this episode.
It doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter whose baby it is. If she wants to be able to tell both of them that they're their kid.
Right.
It doesn't really matter who it actually is.
I think it matters. I think it would end up mattering.
Does it matter to her?
I don't know.
She gets to tell both of them that that's their kid, and she gets to tell people that it's not her brother's kid.
But you're asking who she wants the actual father to be.
I don't think she cares.
I think she wants it to be Jaime.
Yeah.
I think she...
Continue the Lannister...
Like, what she told...
She's got power in the Lannister.
But she could know that it's not Jaime. I mean, she...
After the historical episode of season six, when she blows up the Sept...
Yeah.
And she's telling that Septa that, like, I enjoyed the feeling of my brother and all that.
Right.
I think she would hope that it's Jaime's. I think Euron's just
a tool.
A tool in this.
I agree with that.
A chess piece in this Game of Thrones.
I agree with that.
Like, I think Cersei's just every end goal is about her and Jaime at this point. She cares about legacy a little bit because she rubs off on her father, because that was a big thing with Tywin Lannister. He was all about carrying on the family name, carrying on Lannister, where they stand in the world of Westeros. But Cersei, I think she's compartmentalized to just herself.
Oh,
and
she said so.
At some point, if she brings a kid, she'll bring a kid.
Now, one thing, when we were talking about reunions earlier, one we neglected that kind of ties into Cersei is Sansa and Tyrion, which I thought was a really cool reunion.
I enjoyed that, and a part of me thought to myself, is there a real chance that these two actually end up together?
I'd love to see
consensual
that. Oh, I would love
way.
To. I love Tyrion. I don't think, you know... I think Sansa's too good for Tyrion from a looks perspective.
She is. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Sansa, you know,
but this,
she's a looker.
But the way they looked at each other was a part of me that I was just like,
this is what maybe. I think the point of that scene was, and people have disagreed with me on this. Sansa,
like me,
yeah. Sansa and Bran are now the most powerful people. Bran knows everything. He's telling Sansa. The point of that scene was to prove that I understand that everyone knows that Cersei's not coming. But Sansa is the one person who knows for sure that she's not, because Bran's able to see it.
Yes.
That scene was to show you that as smart as Tyrion is, he doesn't have Bran, who has seen
everything.
Every episode,
he has seen everything.
Read every book, and knows everything that's happened or... Everything that's happened
but he
from
does,
the beginning.
But he doesn't, though.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't understand how to piece everything together yet.
He's getting better at it,
but I agree with TK.
If you look, watch the last episode of the last season, when Sansa gets up there and starts accusing Littlefinger. How much does she know? She knows everything he's did.
Right, but that's because she knows Littlefinger.
Well,
like, she knows
that he started a whole Game of Thrones. She knows who he's killed. She knows.
Well, he told her that information. He did. But in this case,
he knows that he put the knife up to Ned's neck and said, "I told you not to trust me."
No, you're right.
No one else heard that.
But in this case,
he knows everything.
In this case, I disagree with you. I don't think she knows this because Bran told her. Because then that kind of takes out like. The nature of these characters' intelligence. Like, I think Sansa knows that that Cersei's not gonna come north to help Tyrion because she knows Cersei.
She knows how much Cersei hates Tyrion. I understand
that. She doesn't need Bran to tell her that.
But I think the point of that scene was to show that she knows more than Tyrion, because she knows everything because she's friends with Bran.
I disagree. I agree in a part.
Bran.
Sansa is the most intelligent person strategic-wise.
Right, on the show.
On the show right now. And it's not even close. And that's just part of her character arc. If you go back to season one, when I binge-watched it, I was so annoyed.
Not trying to take anything away from Sansa.
Dave, let's just think about this like logically, though. The Night King is on his way there. The fate of humanity is on the line. If Bran knows for a fact that Cersei's not going to march her army north, why would he not just tell them that?
Because he's only telling Sansa.
But why wouldn't right. Sansa be like, Bran has told me this?
Bran's like, problem.
Because she wants to prove how smart she is.
No, she's not that worried about looking intelligent.
The whole point of that scene was to show that she's smarter than Tyrion. That was the whole point.
Yeah, but she's just smarter. Not she's because just, Bran is making her learned. Smarter.
Sansa has just learned
both.
Throughout her life.
It's both.
I disagree.
And her tragedies. Yeah. Of, yes. What to
I'm not trying to take anything away
I
from
know.
Her.
I think you're putting too much stock in Bran.
I agree.
I think if you go back and watch the last episode of last season,
I understand,
season,
and that,
you see,
but she
I
focused
understand.
On the stuff that she witnessed. She witnessed right. him push Lyanna.
But there was a ton of stuff that nobody knows, and no one was even there for.
Bran said that though. Sansa didn't say that.
She said it when she was go back to when she's accusing him of all the things that he's done.
You're just taking out like all characters' free will if you just say Bran's just telling them everything.
Right.
What fun is that?
The problem with
that's the point. The point is
we don't know where Bran is.
He's now immune.
Bran doesn't know where he is. He's the reason he's sitting just being an awkward person is because he doesn't know how to interact with people anymore.
Right.
He's stuck going throughout all these different time and space continuums to figure out where he is to
and he's getting better at it.
He's getting better at it, but he's not the...
But the whole point of Game of Thrones, the whole thing, the biggest weapon in all of Game of Thrones is BS. Everyone's been BS in everybody. And now we have a character that is immune to BS.
I agree.
And that's powerful.
But
he knows the truth.
Dave,
yes.
Think about this though. I agree with Bill 100%. I think you're just.
And
putting
I think you're going to see that play
stock,
out.
I think you're just putting too much stock in Bran. Like, think back to last season too. You can pull lines from anywhere. When John, I think it's actually the end of season six. John and Sansa are having a conversation, and John says about Cersei, like, it sounds like you actually admire her.
Yes,
and Sansa's like, I've learned a great deal from her. Like, this is Sansa's free will, just learning. She knows who Cersei is. She spent as much time with Cersei as anybody.
Yep.
She knows how manipulative Cersei is. Yep. She knows how much Cersei hates Tyrion. And when Tyrion says out loud, when she makes Tyrion say out loud, Cersei's gonna march north to fight for me. And Tyrion,
like,
you can see the look
on
his face, like how dumb he feels. Because I think Tyrion kind of realizes now, oh damn, she might be right.
Yeah.
Like maybe
no, she's
like,
absolutely right.
Cersei is screwing me over here.
Totally. I think we're
I'm not trying to take anything away from
us are total agreement in this.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
The final scene and the preview of next episode.
Okay.
We get the Jaime seeing Bran for the first time in 10 years.
That was awesome.
That was great. The memes have been great. The Curb Your Enthusiasm music meme that I heard to that was perfect.
Now, when
how do you guys look at that?
Well, first, when you saw the hooded rider coming into Winterfell, who'd you think it was at first? At first, I thought
I was
it was
confused.
A woman. At first, I thought it was Melisandre. But then when they got closer and it was apparent it was a man, I knew it was Jaime.
Yeah, you knew. Like, it only made sense that it would be Jaime.
Yeah.
Because of he had just left Winterfell. Again, I've completely abandoned what the show has done in terms of travel on this show, so whatever.
Yeah, they've gone out of
I actually think this it's kind of difficult because it's between seasons.
Yeah.
A lot of time could have amassed.
Right. So we have Jaime just there, and it just made sense that it would only be Jaime. I think this is going to just be like a 10 to 15 minute take-up of next week's episode. I don't think this is going to take long because Jamie's going to come in and be accused by Danny, like, you killed my father. What's going on? Why are you here? I should kill you. And it's going to turn out like Jamie's like, I'm on your side. I'm here because Cersei's really not coming. And I think he's going to finally tell the world the real reason he killed the Mad King.
Yeah.
I think we finally get that. Because only the audience, Jaime and Brienne of Tarth, know the real quote-unquote reason that Jaime killed the Mad King. Because he wanted him to kill his father. And he didn't want to do that. Who would want to kill their father?
Yeah.
No matter how despicable they may be, it's still your father.
And it is interesting because Jaime is like one of the most hated people in the North of anybody on
the
show.
North, yes.
Now it's
and
interesting.
One of the most beloved in the show.
Yeah,
and he has one of the best character arcs of anyone.
Oh, he does. And
but he's the most neutral character. He's neither good or evil. He doesn't do exclusively good things like Jon Snow. He doesn't do exclusively bad things like Cersei. He's the neutral character.
I don't think Bran is going to tell anybody that he pushed him from the tower.
He's just going to stare at him knowingly.
I think they're going to... Yeah. They'll probably have a private conversation.
Does he admit it himself?
Does Jaime?
Yeah.
To everybody or to Bran?
Both. Does he do it privately with Bran?
I think it could actually be something where Bran tells Jaime, don't tell anybody because you're needed. I think in the end, that's where this is going. They're going to have the little trial for Jaime, whatever, and they're going to decide this guy's going to be necessary, so we're going to let him
live. How much does Bran care that he tried to kill him?
I don't think Bran cares at all.
Bran is the three-eyed raven.
Right.
People have to realize that
Bran is not Bran.
Yeah,
He's the three-eyed raven. And the only people that put two and two together that Bran didn't fall from that tower and was actually pushed are all dead. Like, Catelyn Stark figured it out, and she's now dead. Rob Stark obviously knew through her. He's obviously dead. So, yeah, I agree with you, TK. I think he'll say, like, I know you did this, but I'm not going to tell anyone else. You're safe.
Right. Like, now, but we need you.
But does Jaime's honor, quote unquote, that he now has amassed through, six, seven seasons of us getting to really know him, does that compel him to admit his faults and admit what he did? I think that goes hand in hand with him killing the king if he does it.
I think if Bran is the one who tells him, you know, we're cool, then he's gonna, you know, be okay with that, and I don't think he'll...
Do we know the title of this second episode?
We don't. They didn't release this title till after the episode aired.
They didn't. I know.
So I don't think they're gonna wait. I don't think they're gonna release anything ahead of time.
And
I prefer it that way.
Yeah,
I really do.
I watched the show through HBO Go, and as soon as the episode popped up around 8:59, 9 o'clock, I immediately threw it on, but it only said S801 or whatever. It didn't give an actual title.
Right.
So this second episode, I think it's the second one that's a less than an hour, and then the rest of the way it's all hour 20 or more, I believe, for episode 3 through 6.
This one is 58 minutes.
58.
Then the final four all hover around the hour 20 minute mark.
So it's pretty damn exciting, to say the least. This was a great... I agree with TK and Breitmeyer here. Like, this episode was solid. I think it could have been... It twerked a little
bit. It's a setup episode. We all agree. You know, we've talked about setup episodes before where you have to
kind of... It's a staple of Game of Thrones.
Right. And there's been people who complain about every setup episode, so I hate to be the guy that's complaining about a setup episode. It is a 7 out of 10. It is a good episode.
Yep.
I just had a problem with a lot of...
Hater.
Especially directorial decisions that were made in this show.
Because there were characters that I thought should have been dead, and they popped up.
I think
up.
If you...
Dragon scene...
If you took that episode and had a different director and had the same script, the same actors, it would have been a better episode.
I disagree. I thought it was really good. I know I'm in the minority, I guess, but like I thought going into that episode, by the way, I nailed my prediction, by the way, which I said the big scene was going to be Jon learning about who his parents are.
Yeah.
Well, not a very hard prediction to make.
Oh, this is
but that was what needed to happen for that episode to be paced well. I thought between that, Jon riding the dragon, the Ned Umber scene where, you know, a little White Walker action, and then the Bran Jaime thing. I thought enough happened.
Yeah, but what really surprised you out of all the things? What made you go, whoa?
That's the most
surprising thing was the opening was changed.
Well, that's another thing that I like. I'm glad they are not catering to these, you know, fraud mainstream audiences like Dave. Who just demand these big action sequences every week. I'd rather it be paced well, written well, and done right than these characters not acting like themselves like happened last year.
We have to wrap because
I didn't hear a word after you called me mainstream.
I need clarification. Before this episode aired, I made the prediction that I think we'll get a death tonight. Like a minor character that we were supposed to get around or knew that is going to die. Do I take credit for Ned Umber's death, predicting Ned Umber's death? Because he died.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, take credit.
I think I take credit. I call it a death. Ned Umber's death is significant because you realize how close the White Walkers are.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good.
All right, we'll be back
next week. I think next week we should be out on Monday.
Yeah,
we don't
Wednesday.
Have any scheduling conflicts.
Yeah,
as we did yesterday.
Porter's not here because the Phillies announced there was the All-Star game this today. That's we're recording on Wednesday, so that's happening, and that screwed up Porter's schedule. So hopefully Monday we're all here on enjoying Game of Thrones episode 2.
Yep, and I'll be previewing it. I'm on from 1 to 2:30 on Sunday afternoon on WIP, and I will we'll talk Game of Thrones then too. In addition to sports conversation,
got to do it.
There you go.